thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. One thing I ask, and I would seek, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit's water for my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Than thousands elsewhere.
Aren't you glad that blood bought, blood washed, amen, by the sinless Lamb of God? Oh, what a privilege we have that we've been named into the family of God. But the Bible says that we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of light, amen? Oh, hallelujah. We are a blessed group of people. God's people are the most blessed people, and we need to let everybody know it. Put a smile on our face. Put words of saltiness in our mouth. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, we're privileged this morning to have Brother Tuckfield with the Gideons. We love the Gideons. We're down in number this morning. Some had to work, and I don't know. You never know where people are. But anyway, nevertheless, we support this wonderful ministry. We pray for this ministry, and we're so glad that you'd take time out of your schedule to come and to share with us what is happening, because it excites us to hear how God's Word is going forth and changing lives. In my home, my wife and I both have that little red New Testament to this day that was given out to us at Hector School. And it's something that we treasure, because that's the first time I ever in my life read the Bible, was that, the very first time. And I can remember reading that not understanding anything about it, because, you know, I wasn't saved. And I'd never been raised in church or brought up in church. But I made it over to Mark chapter 11, and I got down to the verse where Jesus was talking about faith. You can have what you say. And talking about speaking to your mountain. And I can remember thinking, you know, is he talking about a literal mountain? What's he talking about? And I remember thinking, wanting to speak to a mountain and see if it would move. You know, not understanding nothing about what he was teaching, but knowing that that went into my heart right then. And today, that word from, when did those little red ones go out? In the fourth, fifth grade or something? Third grade. Eight, 9 years old, whatever. That word was in there. And today, I use that word all the time. And so that's just one thing that you as a Gideon has imparted into my life. And can we imagine what the Gideons are doing in 100 and however many nations, I'm sure you'll share with us, all around the world. So anyway, you come and you take your liberty and just share with us. We're excited. You can sit in here. You can go up there and make yourself comfortable. Appreciate you so much.
Whoop. There's a little red one.
Yes.
A different color.
Okay. Where are you, God? That's what Jill said. She was there on 9/11, September 11th. She was an emergency medical technician for the American Red Cross when the Twin Towers came down. She was there 48 hours straight and exhausted and discouraged, and leaving the disaster scene for a moment, she went out and there was Gideon handing out New Testaments there under. She had accepted Christ as a child but strayed from her faith when she was adult. Happens to a lot of us. She returned to the shelter for a rest, began reading the Gospel of John. She made her way back to Ground Zero, and a man came out bleeding, covered with dust from underneath the Twin Towers. He said he was a Vietnam vet and been living there. He saw that Gideon Bible she had in her vest, and she took it out and gave it to him. When she left and walked away, she prayed for him and others that day. But she felt angry with God, asking him, "Where are you in all this mess?" Well, 2 years later, she received a phone call from the homeless man. His name was Andy. He said, "I'm different now." They met a few days later and talked. He said, "Thanks for that testament. I'm no longer homeless, and I have hope now because I have Jesus in my heart." Because of the power of God in the Word, in the little New Testament, two lives were changed that day. Now, that's a great story about still having your little ones there. You know how that works? Is Gideons go around to the churches and they talk to them about what the report is, what's going on in the world, and then the churches partner with the Gideons and money flows and buys New Testaments. We ship those all around the world and give them even to our schools, and that's how he got those, is because of the churches. And so, think about that for a while, but, you know, it takes everybody working together to try and do that. The Gideons, I'm here to give the report, and that's what we call it anyway. What's happening? What's God doing with the Gideons out there and the churches around? I'm just going to remind you now, our whole thing, what's your thing? Our thing is to win boys and girls, men and women to Christ through handing out the scriptures. That's our main deal. The Gideons is international. It's interdenominational. We work with all the evangelical churches. Our members are dedicated to saving the lost through personal witnessing and the distribution of God's word in 201 countries now. Now, how many countries are there? There's supposed to be like a little over 210. But it changes a lot. So we're in 201 of the 210. Can you believe it? Thank you, Jesus. Now, sometimes we're in countries where even missionaries can't go. We get those scriptures in there by guys who are working in the country, who are Gideons. They know the language. They know the customs. They know where the hotels and the schools and the prisons are and the other places where scriptures can be given out. They're called camps. They're local groups of Gideons in countries, and sometimes they're in danger over there for what they do. So pray for them. Well, God's in the repair business. Jimmy and Margaret's marriage was falling to pieces. Margaret had left their home with two children, leaving Jimmy alone to go to a business meeting in Atlanta, Georgia. His buddies wanted him to go drink at the bar, but he didn't go. He went back to his room. He reached over in the drawer, pulled it open, and there was a Gideon Bible right there in the nightstand. You know, that happens a lot. We put them in all the hotels. In the front section is a reference page suggesting where to find help when you face a crisis or you're feeling lonely, which is where he was, or even needing peace. He began to read. The Word became alive. He began to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He prayed that not only would his marriage be saved, but most of all, his wife would be saved. They met at the lawyer's office later that month. The lawyer was too busy to see them right then, and they were looking at each other across the room. She saw somebody different there rather than the angry drunkard that she had known. She knew something was different and special had happened and wanted to talk to him about it. And they left. They wanted to go somewhere. They ended up at home where Margaret knelt down and accepted Christ as her Savior. Jimmy kept that motel Gideon's Bible. You know, the Gideons are the only people that don't mind you stealing their product. You can take it home from the motel. You can take it from the school, you know, because we're going to be back. We're going to put more in there so they don't mind. They took it home, and they studied from it. Jimmy's now a preacher, and many people have come to Christ. God destroyed the yoke of divorce for two people. Was he working there? Was God working there? Yes, he was. He was working there. And the Gideons are working too. Scripture around the world, having God's word can lead people to faith in Christ. New Christians can grow. Here's the things that we think. Distributing the copies of God's word out there in the world plants powerful seeds that God uses in his timing. We give the word out, but God is the one who waters it and makes it grow in his timing. But you need to have the seed out there. It allows them to read the truth for themselves. They might have heard it. They might have even heard the preacher. They might have talked to the Gideon. But other people's opinions, we hear it all the time. Opinion rules in the world today. But they can read it for themselves if they have a copy of God's word. Now, the Gideon's going to hand it out, and then he's going to go home. This provides a continuing witness of God's faithfulness after they're gone. It makes it easier for people, once they find Christ, to reach others with the truth, with the word, not their opinion. It makes it possible for new Christians to learn and grow. They're going to continue to grow. Well, he was under arrest. Viktor Goncharyn, one of the Gideons from the Saratov camp. Now, let me explain that. Here in our area, there's two camps, the Russellville camp and the Crow Mountain camp. These are the local Gideon men who go and they meet together and they have a group. And we're the Gideons that go out to the churches and do the distributions. That's called a camp. And the great thing about it is the Gideons themselves pay dues to be a Gideon out of our own pocket. And that's what runs the Gideon organization. The money that we give runs our organization. Any of the money that comes from the churches goes to the printing, the shipping, manufacturing, and getting the word of God out there. All that money. Isn't that great? Anyway, they were in that camp. And this was the Saratov camp in Russia. He had to report to the police station, and he couldn't understand what was going on. He obeyed, however, and went there and sat around until they called him in. They were taking his name and address, and another officer came in with a young man who had been caught using drugs. Soon the boy's parents came in weeping because they couldn't help their son get off drugs. They knew he was going to prison. The angry officer asked the young man what he should do with him since this was not the first time in the police station. The officer looked at the parents. "I cannot help you with your son. We must put him in prison this time." Then suddenly the officer looked at the Gideon and said, "Do you know how to help this young man get off drugs?" The Gideon said, "Yes, there is a way to stop using drugs. You have to read the Word of God, go to church, believe in God, and pray." Then he presented the young man with a New Testament. The police officer asked the parents, "Will you do as the Gideon said?" The parents answered they knew that the Word of God was their last hope and that they would all read it. The police officer told the parents to take their son home and pray to the Lord, "I let you go with the hope that I won't meet you here again." Then the officer told the Gideon he could go. What? What? When the Gideon asked why he'd been called to the station in the first place, the officer replied, "It was a mistake." Was it a mistake? No. Was God working there? He was told he was free, he was go. It wasn't a mistake. The Gideon was there at the right place at the right time with a Gideon New Testament provided by the churches as a witness to God's power. Well, we think it's really cool. We give to the students in the grade school. Do you know we can still do that in Pope County? Isn't that wonderful? In Pope County, we can still go into the schools and hand out scriptures. We can't do that in Yale County anymore. Yale County doesn't allow us in all the schools. But Pope County does. So that's an item of prayer I want you to remember, that we can still get in here. Do you know that we don't get into all the churches anymore? No. About 65% of the churches in Pope County let us in. The rest of them don't. And that's the times that we're in, my friends. That's the times that we're in. We still get to go to the Pope County Detention Center. We like it so much because we're on a rotating basis, and there are two Gideons there every Sunday down to the detention center. Now, I hope you've never been there, but I'm going to paint the picture for you. You go in there, you're in the cell block, you know, you're going behind the locked doors, they call it in, you can't get in there, they unlock those, not automatically, but there's a master control up there in the main room, and they let you in into the barracks. And when you go in there, there's two of these barracks, long, they're longer than this building, and either about its same width, and either side, double bunk beds all the way down there and all the way down there. And the men, in the morning, you go in there and you hold up a Bible and say, "Anyone want to talk about God? Anybody want the scripture? Anybody want to learn about Jesus?" And most of them are asleep, or they pretend to be asleep because they don't want to talk to you. But one time I was in there personally, and a young man motioned me over. And we used to be able to do that. Can't even do that anymore. You can't go into the barracks. But we used to be able to walk down to where the bunk was. And I walked over there, and the young man said, "I want to learn about Jesus." And so I got the New Testament. Now, these are really great because they have the Roman road, the plan of salvation, right in the back. This is how you get to heaven, right here in the back. This is it. God's plan of salvation, GPS. You get it? GPS, this is how you're going to get there. And so I read it to him, showed it to him. I said, "Do you understand?" "Yes." "Is this what you believe?" "Yes." "Do you want to accept Jesus today?" "Yes." So he prayed the sinner's prayer there. Now think about this. He's, maybe 21. All the other men are there, laying in their bunks. We're talking. They're hearing everything I'm saying. I just shared the gospel. They're all hearing it. He's responding, and in front of all those other prisoners, he prays to receive Jesus. Now, isn't that powerful? That is just amazing. And he was so excited, and he did that. Another time we were in the jail, and we walked in the door, and a guy came right up, and he said, "I think I'm supposed to come up here." "Okay. Well, you want us to pray for you?" "Well, I don't really know." So we began to talk with him, shared the gospel with him. He said, "Yes, I want to receive." And he accepted Christ right there. And he said, "I guess that's why I was supposed to come up here." We said, "Yeah, that's what we think too." So anyway, we go where the prisoners are, where the police are. We even get to make distributions at the sheriff's office, at the fire departments. We try and go to all of, even the volunteer fire departments on certain times and hand them so that they can have it. And then military personnel, you've probably seen that the chaplains, if you've been a military, the chaplains, we provide them with camouflage, small New Testaments like this. There are many stories where the scripture has actually saved a person's life. They had it in their shirt pocket and actually got a bullet in it. There's several of those stories from World War I and World War II. So we're able to get out there. We do individual witness where we can. All the Bibles in the hotels and the motels, we're still able to mostly get in there. Now, in some larger cities, you'll have a Bible. They'll have a Book of Mormon. They'll have a Koran all together in the same room. All the more important why we need to keep the Bible in the motels, just like this, these two, this couple I told you about that got saved. And in, we go to domestic violence shelter, medical offices, the home, convalescent homes, the hospitals. We get to put them in the hospital still. So helping God change lives for 100 years. 1908 is when they started. Two guys felt called to get together and start praying together. That's how the Gideon started. Two business guys up in Michigan thought that they should start handing out Bibles. Well, how many think they got out? Well, not too many when they started. But it's just amazing now because there are 200,000 Gideons, an auxiliary member. There's 12,000 groups. We've handed out since then 2.1 billion scriptures. Billion. Thank you, Jesus. Now think about that. Somebody's figured it out. Two copies every second, they're going out. Last year, in 2017, 87 million. Now think about that. 1908, nobody knows how many they handed out, but not too many. But last year, 87 million went out there. And we've got 2.1 billion out there. Where are they? I don't know. God knows where they are. And do you know that we, even in countries like Africa, when we go over there, we have Gideons who travel over there and do scripture distributions. They're just so excited because they get, we go to the schools and hand them out in the schools. The schools don't have any textbooks. You know what they use? They use the Bible. Is that amazing? You know, we used to have the Bible in our schools too. But they still learn from the Bible in their schools over there. It's amazing. So, all these scriptures, 2.1 billion. But you know, the population of the world is 7.4 billion. So, there's still a lot of people in the world who have not heard Jesus. The work's not done. He was tortured. Fred Hanslick was a medic in the 1st Cavalry in the Vietnam War. They were engaged in a firefight. He was captured while attending some wounded men. He'd been given a Gideon Testament when he was deployed by his chaplain. He was able to sneak it into the prisoner camp where he was beaten and sometimes put in solitary confinement. After 4 years, he and two other men escaped. They evaded capture. They lived off the land. They stumbled around on the and they found the U.S. troops. 3 weeks later after they were on the run. He had left that New Testament behind, though. He'd written his parents' name and address in the front there. There's a place for that. And then, a couple years later, his parents called and said they got a letter from a Vietnam man. The guard who had tortured him in confinement wrote and said he had escaped to Thailand. After the war was over, the guard had found the New Testament. And as a result of reading it, he gave his life to Jesus. The guard was pastoring a church in Florida and wanted to meet with Fred, where he lived in Miami. They did. And immediately, the former guard fell on his knees and asked for forgiveness and wanted Fred to come speak at his church. Well, before that could happen, Hurricane Andrew struck and the pastor was killed. The pastor's wife pleaded with Fred to come and speak at the church anyway. And from his former tormentor, from that pulpit, Fred was able to forgive him. And the pastor's wife presented him with that little New Testament. Well, and you know God's word is powerful. It comforted Fred while he was in confinement and touched the life of the man who had been extremely brutal but was changed because of God's love, because of God's word, because God's word is out there. So the message of the report is God is working around the world. He's still working. So thank you, church. thank you to having the Gideons in. Thank you for being involved. Here's what you can do. You know what the word says? Night is coming when no man can work. When Jesus comes back, we may not be handing out testaments. Jesus will be there. He'll be the truth. He'll be the word. Who knows what we'll be doing? May not be handing them out, but now is the time to get them out. What you can do now, you can pray. Why? Because the prayer of a righteous man is effective. We know that's what the word says. Pray that our schools stay open here in Pope County. That's really important. So that young people can get a New Testament and their lives be changed. Then you can pray for countries to open. The rest of the countries in the world, we need to get in there. You know, the word will be preached in all the nations, and then the end will come. We need to get into all of the nations. Pray for the Gideons in those countries. Sometimes it's risky. They need to travel. They need to be safe. Pray for them. And then you can give. Give money that others would receive the word. The Gideon pay dues to run their organization, so everything that you give goes towards the scriptures. Well, the whole thing is the word of God is living and active. You know that scripture? That's our favorite one, Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish what I please. Now, the Gideons have this magazine that they get every month. It's called The Returns. These are the stories that people write in and say, this is what happened to me. And they write it in, and we put them in this magazine. It goes around all the Gideons, and we just rejoice reading all the stuff every month. One time, this girl writes in. She's 33 years old. She's climbing the corporate ladder. She's so successful, she says, I don't need my husband anymore. She's a runner, and she goes out for a run in the morning. It just starts to downpour, and she's running in the rain, and the lightning flashes down there on the street, and she sees something there, and she walks over and picks it up. You know what it is? It's a little Gideon New Testament laying there on the street in the rain. And she picks it up, takes it home, dries it out. She reads it and gives her life to Christ and says, I don't need to leave my husband anymore. And she wrote in and she says, this is what happened to me. Another one, there's a distribution. We do these distributions at all the colleges, including Arkansas Tech. We get in there once a year. We're on campus handing them out to the students. I've done that. I've been there. And some of the students come up and they say, you don't need to be here giving out the Bibles on college. Others come by and say, thank you very much for staying faithful and giving out the Word of God. And so we hand them out. One time we were there. And a student said, he took it and he said, I'm going to burn it. He was back the next year and the other guys recognized him and he said, we remember you. And he said, yeah, I didn't burn it. I took it home and read it and gave my life to Jesus. At this college in McHenry Community College, they were coming out and driving, and they were handing them out to the drivers, and one of them took, this gal was following the next car in front of her, and the guy in front of her took one, and he threw it out over there, and it landed in the ditch. She was upset about it, but she volunteered at the shelter, and she went there, and later at the shelter, there was a homeless man on the bunk reading that. Where'd you find that? It was in the ditch over at the college. I found it. It's just laying there. He picked it up, gave his life to Jesus there in the shelter. Isn't that amazing? And then in San Francisco, a man checked into the hotel with a bottle of poison to give his life. There's a lot of these stories, believe it or not. That's why the Gideons put the hotel Bibles in there. People want to go to a hotel and end their life. It happens. So he took the bottle of poison and he put it over on the nightstand. Well, there was a Gideon Bible on the nightstand. He put it right on the Gideon Bible. So he picked it up, started to read, gave his life to Jesus, and threw his bottle of pills away and took the Bible and went home. His life was saved. Thank you, Jesus. Another woman checked out of the hotel. She came down to the counter, and she laid a gun on the counter, and she said, I checked in last night to end my life. I'm leaving you the gun because I'm taking the Bible. And she went off. Thank you, Jesus. at a college in Brazil. They were handing them out as they came through. One of the students took and threw it up in the air and landed on the roof. He didn't want anything to do with it. Next day, a man came down. He said, thank you so much. I was up working on the roof yesterday, and you threw me up a New Testament. I read it, and Jesus changed my life. Isn't that amazing? Brian DeMette writes in his blog that he stood on the eighth floor balcony of a Brisbane hotel to end his life. He was going to jump off the eighth floor, standing there on the balcony, and he looked over, and on the outside table, there on the balcony, there was a Gideon Bible there. Somebody had been reading it and left it. He got down off the wall, started reading it. He gave his life to Jesus. He now has a radio show over there that reaches 15 million people in 160 countries. Now think about it. 2.1 billion of these are out in the world, changing people's lives. The word doesn't return void. Sometimes they have several lives. These ones that we leave in the schools over in Africa, the kids get to take them home. They're their personal ones. There's no books in the school. There's no books at home. They take them home. They read them at home. Their families get saved. Their relatives get saved. Their villages get saved. It's just amazing. The Word of God has many lives out there. Well, you might be called to pray. You might be called to give. You might be called to join. If God's calling you to join and be one of the Gideons, I want to talk to you. You can participate. You know, God is working out there. You can participate in what He is doing. Maybe you can't go to all the nations, but you can send the word to all the nations through the Gideons. Work while it is day. Oh, I threw it over here. Do you know there's been so many of these made? They're $1.42. That's all it takes. $1.42. Now, you might be called to give $1.42. You might be called to give thousands of dollars. I don't know. But that's all it costs. Is that worth a person? Is that worth a person's destiny and salvation? Absolutely it is. And the Gideons are still at work. So join us. Thank you so much. I appreciate the pastor letting me come today. The power to change lives is in this book right here, Faraway Places and Lives and Despairs. You can help God save someone's life for eternity if you choose to. Thanks, church. Thank you so much for letting me come. Praise the name of Jesus.